Good morning, church. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. That is the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And it read, "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matter. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?"
What a blessing it is to be here this morning as we have come to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guests, and we're very thankful and grateful for you being here. As we were singing that song, the last song, it was in the stanza that caught my attention, "Savior, lead me, lest I stray." When we ponder that, it ought to send proverbial chills down our spine. And the reason why is because if the Savior is not leading, then we are astray. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, ways of death. There are so many today who are leading their own path, doing their own thing. But praise be to God that we come together every first day of the week to be encouraged, to be admonished, to be reminded that we are to follow the Savior. As I have been pondering this week, the Lord taught me some things. One of the things that he taught me is that if you want to follow him, you have to be humble. And that salvation is designed to humble us. One of the major problems that man has is pride. He believes that he can order the steps. The psalmist would say, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." We consider some of the things that we deal with on a daily basis: rearing children, going to work, interacting with those who don't know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins. And it becomes challenging at times as the people of God. We ask ourselves, why are we here? What is the purpose of me being here? Why am I even a Christian? Why am I following Jesus Christ? God is humbling us. No wonder baptism is essential for salvation. And the reason why is because the first step that God wants to do is see that you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he can begin to exalt you. We think about the blessing of suffering, and you're probably thinking, what blessing is there in suffering? Truly, is there a blessing in suffering? Suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. Someone said long ago the main causes for suffering is selfishness and personal desires. I don't know if I can go all the way with that, but I can see. Sometimes suffering is experienced because of the actions and decisions of others. Reminds me of Joshua chapter 7 in the account of Achan when he took of the accursed thing and the children of Israel, 37 families, I believe it was, suffered because of the actions of Achan. His family suffered because of the actions of Achan. God suffered because of the actions of Achan. Yet suffering can be experienced mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's interesting because of man's constitution, man's makeup. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And all three aspects of man can suffer. And so when we consider suffering, it is a blessing to suffer. There are great lessons that can be learned through suffering. As Christians, I found this interesting that God has actually called us to suffer. And you're probably thinking, why would God do that? God has called us to suffer, and we'll look at that here in a few minutes. But remember earlier I said that I learned some things. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, God told the children of Israel through Moses, his man, his prophet, his leader, if you will, that God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage to worship him, but also as they are about to go into the promised land, if you will, the second generation of the children of Israel, he said, I brought you out to humble you, to teach you. That's interesting that God has brought men and women out of their sins into the church to humble them as well, to teach them, that they may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Friends, nothing has changed. What God is doing, he is teaching us that we must rely upon him, and as we rely upon him, there's going to be some suffering. Reminded of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Yea, all they that live godly shall suffer. Suffer what? Persecution. The idea of persecution there, suffering, literally means to be put to flight. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Here we'll come across the very words of our master, Jesus the Christ. He has this to say that's worthy of our attention and consideration and, if you will, acceptation. In Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse number 10, blessed are they which are persecuted, chaste for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I considered that. And here we see that when one is put to flight, for Jesus' sake, for righteousness' sake, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says they're blessed. They're happy. Now, friends, that's not how we think at times. For we understand that the Bible clearly teaches us that we are to bless those who curse us and persecute us. Bless them and curse not. Romans 12 and verse number 14. So I said all that to say this, as it relates to our theme for the year, arise out of sleep, awake to righteousness. We have to be reminded as the people of God that we are awake, that we are alive. And the very fact that we are awake in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation ought to tell us that we ought to keep our spiritual eyes open. And that as we keep our spiritual eyes open, it's going to cause some suffering at times. And it is a blessing to suffer. It's a blessing to suffer because in suffering, we actually identify with God. We identify with the Christ. So we're going to be looking at suffering in the book of Peter, all through the book of Peter. And it's amazing that our dear brother, an elder in the Lord's church, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Christ, one who wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had a lot to say about suffering. The very thing that the Christian at times tends to run away from. Here God is telling us actually to run into it. So God taught me some things. Sometimes we want to run away from the suffering. When God is actually saying, following me, you're actually going to run into it. Savior, lead me lest I stray. If I get away from the Savior when the suffering come, I will go astray. I will go astray. It's a promise. I guarantee you. But if I stay with the Lord, even in the midst of the greatest suffering that could ever take place in my own personal life, I will stay the course. And therefore, it's a blessing in suffering. And it's not always fun and easy to be mistreated, misunderstood, and possibly even mishandled because of our biblical stance. But friends, we shall and we must. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 71. Notice what the psalmist said way back under the law of Moses. In Psalm 119, verse number 71, friends, we are not smart enough to make this up ourselves. Here we see that the psalmist says in no uncertain terms, it is good. Friends, did you see that? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It is good to go through suffering. It is good to go through hardship. It is good to go through pain that I may learn God. And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we want to run away from that. But friends, if anything, following Christ, we might run smack dab into it. 1 Peter chapter 3. We consider the words that was read by our dear brother, Brother Estes, in the book of Peter. This great book, which was penned roughly in the late 50s, early 60s, as he is writing to those pilgrims. In verse number 1 of chapter 1, the dispersion that is in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Some of those groups you'll find in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through verse number 12, I believe it is. These individuals had obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost, which means that this group were Jews, if you will. And as he is writing to them, you'll find it to be very amazing, just in my little cursory study over the years, 17 times the idea of suffer or suffering is being referred to. 3 times the word conscience is used, and 12 times the idea of good or good days or doing good is referred to. Now, I found that very interesting because I want to draw those three things out. Because the Apostle Peter actually draws out almost every context of life. Almost every context. It doesn't matter what context you're living in right now. The Bible addresses it, and Peter probably, for the most part, addresses it even himself. Yet the Christian from time to time must experience a little tension in life. And the very thing that we try to run away from at times is the very thing that God is trying to put us in. Why? God wants us to develop moral character. He wants us to develop moral strength. He wants us to be a people of spiritual tenacity, if you will, to have some guts. And friends, one thing I know for a fact, that if we desire to go home and be with God, it's going to require us to have a strong mind, a strong will, a strong resolve, a strong desire to do the will of God. Being strong is not bullying. Being strong is not lifting weights. Being strong is doing the will of God. And that's being strong. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So as Christians, we're going to have to endure a little bit. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, if you haven't gone to sleep or tuned me out already, if you have, that's your fault. But friends, the more I study this Bible, the scarier life gets at times. Because some just won't get it. And it makes sense that Jesus says, Brother Raphael, few be there that find it. So we gotta take God serious. And they got enough pulpits, even in the Lord's church, got a planned church and planned preaching. But there's nothing planned about this pulpit. Nothing planned about it. And every word of God is pure. And every word of God must be heeded. So in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14, notice what your Bible says. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 14. But even if you should suffer... Now, this is in the context of doing what is right or wrong. If you're doing that which is right, doing that which is good, friends, don't worry about any type of harm coming to you. Friends, he's talking about spiritual, okay? He's not talking about just your physical body. In doing good, you might lose your life. But in doing good, you will always, always, friends, come out victorious. But even if you suffer... for righteousness. Now notice what he says. You are blessed. Now that's why I say the beauty of suffering. You're blessed when you suffer for righteousness. When you suffer for doing that which is right and honorable and good and upright and moral and godly. Here he says you're blessed if you suffer for righteousness' sake. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 10 through 12, and notice these different contexts that our dear brother brings up. Here we notice in this context, the sufferings of Christ. In the sufferings of Christ, you had the angelic host and even the prophets, Brother Braswell, that wanted to see what was going on, but they couldn't even see it then. It wasn't revealed to them, but they had to wait for it. Do you understand how privileged we are to have the Word of God in our hands, to be part of this great mystery, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 and following, to be part of the church of Christ, to be part of a people where Jews and Gentiles can come together and honor God and glorify God and remember the Lord's death till he comes? Do you understand this great privilege we got? Here, the prophets... and the angelic hosts, they wanted to peer into this perfect plan that God was orchestrating, but they had to wait for it. And so, notice what the Bible says. Of this salvation, the prophets, have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Jesus is in his glory even right now. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. What we are experiencing today, the angels wanted to see what was going on, but God says it's not time to reveal that yet. Here, the sufferings of Christ were seen even a long ago. Do you understand that Christ knew he was going to suffer for you and I? Can you imagine us knowing that we're going to suffer a great hardship and muster up the spiritual strength to say, well, let's go. Let's do this. Let's get this done. It's not easy, friends. Hence, when we come together on the first day of the week, we need to be encouraging one another. Let me encourage you now. After the benediction, don't be so quick to leave without encouraging somebody. You don't know what the brethren are going through, what they have to go through at home, what they have to go through on the job, what they have to go through with their fellow man. Every now and then, slow down before you walk out a door. I don't care how young or old you are. Encourage someone. Let me prove this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verses 18 through 25. Verses 18 through 25, we take notice of something. We see a context. Again, servants, be submissive to your masters with all reverence, fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also the King James Version, I believe, uses the word forward. The New King James Version uses the word harsh. There are some people that work for some very harsh people. And then there are some people that work for some very loving people. I say this, that as the children of God, we take the exhortation of the Apostle Peter, our brother, and we do what he says. We be submissive. And notice verse number 19. For this, what Peter, this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. You do what is right at work, even though it may be hard. Hang in there. You're a Christian. Don't we need that encouragement at times? We're working with heathens at times. We're working with those who don't know Jesus Christ. They're very hard. They're very harsh. They use foul words. They could care less about what you're doing. Yet, as a Christian, you're upholding moral standards. You're a child of God. You're striving to be right. You're striving to be the light. You hang in there and keep doing what God says. For God says, this is commendable. Wow, that's Bible. This is commendable. Hang in there. Friends, I know for a fact, and I've seen Christians leave the faith because of people on their jobs. Be careful. Endure grief. But then drop down to verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, meaning evil spoken of, did not revile in return. Notice the discipline of Jesus Christ. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Why, Jesus? Why didn't you threaten back? Committed himself to him that judges righteously. His commitment to Jesus Christ, his commitment, I'm sorry, to the Father, was top notch. Our commitment to Jesus Christ has to be where it needs to be. So when we're dealing with those who are outside of Christ, who are trying to draw us away. And friends, Satan is trying to draw us away any type of way he can. And just as Jesus Christ was committed to the Father, we too must be committed to Jesus Christ, committed to the Father, and endure the suffering, and it'll be okay. And he says that this is commendable before God. Now it's interesting that the suffering, the hardship, the affliction that we have to go through, we have to first look at our Savior and what he went through. He went through some very hard times. And because he went through some very hard times and he made it through, friends, if we follow him, we can make it through too. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what our dear brother has to say. He talks about suffering again and how Christ suffered once for sin. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, as was read. But friends, take notice. Therefore, since Christ suffered, this is the 10th time that the idea of suffering has been mentioned out of the 17. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us, where? In the flesh. Arm yourselves also with the same mentality, the same mindset. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Peter, what are you telling us? That when I am upholding righteousness in my life and doing the will of God, doesn't matter the temptation, James chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Doesn't matter how strong the desire is when I overcome that without sinning. Friends, the body feels it, but the spirit rejoices. Let me get real with you. We live in a very provocative time today. People are half clothed today. It's hard to keep your eyes straight in some cases today. Y'all look at me. Y'all ain't gonna get this nowhere else. And for men, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself looking too long and too hard. You'll give in. And you'll feel bad as a Christian. But when you discipline yourself, and you're like Job in Job 31 in verse number 1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I behold a young maiden? And so you hang in there, and even though the flesh is desiring, the mindset, the spirit, the soul is rejoicing because you stayed focused. That's just from the man's perspective. Sometimes as women, as sisters, we would rather go out there and be in the workforce than to take care of our homes. There's nothing wrong with going out there, but you gotta stay focused on what God says first. Why? Because God desires a godly seed. He wants the children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes when we're in the flesh, we really want to satisfy those desires of making money or somebody patting us on the back because there's really no praise at home. Friends, there's great praise at home. And the praise is that you're doing the will of God. So here, Peter, he says something very powerful. He says, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, listen to this, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, listen to this, when we walked in lewdness, in lust, in drunkenness, in revelries, which are drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, notice, they, those who are outside, the Gentiles, the non-Christian, think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Come over and have a drink with me. Oh, hey, we're going to get together and go to happy hour. Have a drink with us. Oh, I know you're a Christian, you're professing Christianity, but there's nothing wrong with you having a drink. We hear that all the time. But friends, be careful. Because the Bible clearly demonstrates to us in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, be not drunk with wine wherein is dissipation. Same word, same idea. What's the point that we're making? That we have to discipline our bodies. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. We have to make sure that our minds are right. And it's all right. And even though you may want to go hang out with the friends, well, I'll just have a cup of grape juice. I'll just have a soda. But friends, be careful. Because those whom you communicate with, you're going to be associated with. So be careful. To those who are older in our midst, sometimes you have the mentality, I'll just stay home all day. Be careful with that. There is great work to do. Life is not about just going to the doctors and going to the grocery store. No, we can do more. We have to do more. We can do more. One thing I love about Moses and love about Caleb and love about Joshua, that even in their old age, we find them still laboring for the Lord. Look at verse number 13 and 14 of chapter 4. I find this interesting. Let's throw in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Listen to this. But rejoice. Now notice what Peter is telling them. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, if someone is making fun of you because you're standing up for morality and standing up for Jesus Christ and standing up for the gospel and standing up for the truth, if someone's making fun of you because you're a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, blessed are you. That's good company to be in, friends. Sometimes, as Christians, we get weak. Let me tell you why most people are weak. Y'all listen to this. You're tired. You're tired. No time for rest. Isn't it interesting that God has his son to go up and to come down? Why? He wants us to get some sleep. Friends, when you're not resting well, when you're not sleeping, not getting enough sleep, you don't make good decisions. As a matter of fact, they even tell truck drivers, hey, after a certain amount of driving hours, you got to shut that truck down. Why? You got to get your rest. Well, we ought to think about that spiritually, that God desires for us to get some rest, that we may be able to make good spiritual decisions. And sometimes when we're ripping and running with our kids and ripping and running doing that and ripping and running going here, friends, we don't have enough time to rest. You got to rest your mind. Your soul has to rest just like your body has to rest. And sometimes we don't rest. And so God wants us to be a people that are exceedingly joyful. And we're going to suffer a little bit. And it's all right to suffer a little bit. And notice verse number 14 and 15 rather. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business. Yet, if anyone suffer, this is the 13th time this idea of suffering is being used. Let him suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. I thought about that and have been thinking about it, that God wants us to suffer. That it's all right to suffer just a little bit. And sometimes we might suffer a lot. But we have to ask ourselves, what do I have in store? I got something in store. Look at chapter 5. I'll leave you with some of these. In chapter 5, our brother, elder in the Lord's church, he says this in verse number 1. And it caused me to think and reflect. Even as an elder, send some chills to my fellow elders. Being an elder, it's no joke. God ain't playing them with nothing. I'm going to give an account. That's why when we call you as members, hey, how you doing? Where you been? Been missing you. We're not trying to get in your business. We're not trying to make life hard for you. We love you. We want you to be saved, but we want you to have a healthy life here. And you can have a good life. As a matter of fact, God says you can have a good life here and see good days. So if the elders are not calling you, you ought to be upset. Why? Because you should desire a good life and we should desire to see it. So look what our brother says. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I encourage, I who am a fellow elder and a witness. This is the 15th time this idea is used, of the sufferings of Christ. Peter, you saw Jesus suffer? I sure did. Can you imagine how that played on Peter's mind, on his psyche? Do we read the gospel accounts and just read right through them? Friends, we ought to be thinking about the sufferings of Christ and what he went through for us. And notice what he says. I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, listen to this, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away, the blessings of suffering. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to go through some hardship and some hard times. It's a blessing to call up members and say, why are you bothering me? I love you. Now think about that. The next time that you're away and you've been away for a while and we call you, say, man, just telling you we love you. We want to see you. Don't think that the elders are bothering you. No, we love you. We love the Lord. And we want to experience that glory when it's revealed on that day. That's amazing, this text. So I leave you with 5 points. All that was introductory material. When you suffer for a Christian, being a Christian on your job, second chapter, 18 and 19, take it patiently. Have the right attitude. I'm not saying it's going to be easy as a Christian. And we ought to be teaching our children to have some spiritual gumption. That when someone says something to you that you may not like, don't crawl up into a corner and start whining and crying. Buckle up. Friends, I'm telling you, we haven't seen anything yet. The United States of America is still in a good place, even though it's not in a good place, if you get what I'm saying. But they're not killing us yet. They're just making life a little tough. So just buckle up, smile, and say, to God be the glory. Number two, God has called us blessed when we suffer for righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Friends, did you hear that? That if you're suffering for doing that which is right, for the cause of Christ, on your job, in your home, doesn't matter where you are, God has already called you blessed. You're blessed. Number three, let it not be said that our suffering is because of being a busybody or an evildoer or a thief or otherwise. Chapter 4, verse 15. There are some people suffering, even as Christians, but they're not suffering because of righteousness. But number four, let's rather suffer for being Christ-like. But chapter 5, as I close, look at verse 8 through 10. This suffering teaches us discipline and causes us to control ourselves. Friends, did you hear that? Do you know that there is no excuse, listen to me, for ever getting out of control? Not one. Y'all can fire me off of that if you want to. There's not an excuse for getting out of control. Not one. God has called us to be a disciplined people. That's what Christianity is all about. And that's why all these fakes out here, they get out of control. Then people look at Christianity and say, well, is that how Christianity is? I might as well just stay where I am. No, we are a controlled people. Controlled by who? Controlled by God. Look at verse 8 through 10. Be sober. Meaning be aware of what's going on around you. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because your adversary, that's your enemy, the devil, he tells us who our enemy is. He's walking about like a roaring lion. That's figurative language. It's metaphoric. The devil's not a roaring lion. He's walking about as a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour, destroy, rip to shreds. But notice what he says in verse 9. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings, this is the 16th time this idea is used, are experienced by your brothers in the world. Now that's comforting. It's comforting to know that our brethren in Nebraska, our brethren in Chicago, our brethren in California, our brethren in Toronto, our brethren in Africa, our brethren in San Antonio, our brethren in Bryan College Station, they're going through the same thing. Sometimes we think we're the only ones going through this. No, you're not. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, as a church, we're all going through it. But notice what he says. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen to this, friends. This is the 17th time, Brother Brian, that this idea is used. Amazing. Wow. Evelyn, after you have suffered a while, Brother Don Cheek, I don't know what more could be said. He said, after you've suffered a while, I know the picture that's being painted in Christianity in America, that Christianity is all peaches and cream. Not according to the Bible. It's supposed to be tough. It's not two cars in the garage, ham and eggs for breakfast every morning. It's tough. It's tough being a Christian. It's tough going to heaven. And no wonder few be there that find it. After you suffered a while, just for a little while, just for a little while, notice what he says. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter, what are you teaching us? Go ahead and suffer. Because it's worth it. Sister Williamson is worth it. Brother Hedick is worth it. Randy is worth it. You hang in there. Maya Mark is worth it. Sherrills is worth it. Lanes is worth it. Hito is worth it. That's why we got to get in Christ. So it can be worth it. And if you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ. Because you're going to suffer for something. You might as well suffer for righteousness' sake. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. Our God and our Father in heaven, so thankful. You've left us your word. You've given us wisdom. You've been so patient with us. We're far from deserving. And sometimes, Father, we're just so prideful. We're just so prideful sometimes, Father. We just think we know it all. As in the days of Nehemiah. As in the days of Joshua. Pray to Father that you'll forgive us. Forgive us as a whole, for being so prideful. thinking that we don't have to suffer. But Father, you have called us to suffer. You have called us to go into the fire like Daniel and the Hebrew boys. You have called us to go into the lion's den. Pray to Father that you be with the ninth and main congregation, that we'll realize that you have called us out of sin to humble us, to get all of the worldliness and haughtiness out of us. And it happens through suffering. And Father, that's what makes suffering so beautiful. Yet it hurts. Help us to teach our children from a young age, putting your word into their hearts, which is the humbling tool. And that when we don't put your word into our children's heart, we set them up to be spiritually, emotionally, and mentally arrogant. Help us, Father, to be a people who love you, who are willing to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow your Son. Be with the elders here. Help us to be humble. Help us to be the most humble ones in the building. You have all the answers. We're trying to get some of them. Be with the members and their families and how they're rearing their children. Pray to Father that they'll teach their children to humble themselves under the mighty hand of you, that you may exalt, and that we don't strive to exalt ourselves. We're so arrogant sometimes, Father. We think we know more than you, but your word has shown us in many cases and in many places that when people try to do things that you have not said, it just doesn't turn out right. But Father, we want life to turn out right. We want a good life down here, even though it may lead to some tough times. We want to experience that glory, which is going to be revealed on that day when Christ comes and we meet him in the air. Help us to be humble and just accept your words for what they are. We love you, Father. And that's why we're asking you to forgive us. That's why we're asking you to help us, because we can't do this alone. We need your word, and you have given us a conscience. You have given us free will. You have given us a mindset. You have given us the ability to think. And we pray that all of that will come together in our hearts and that we can live godly lives in Christ Jesus. Father, again, forgive us for being so arrogant. Help us to be humble. You have all the answers. We're trying to get some of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. You may have the answers that, well, you're okay. If you're not in Christ, you're not. You're not okay. You're only okay if you've had your sins washed away. And the way that that is done is through the obedience to the gospel, good news, glad tidings of Jesus Christ, about the word putting on flesh. And when that word put on flesh, he showed us how to live. And when he showed us how to live, he showed us how to die. And when he showed us how to die, God raised him up and put him on his right hand. And now Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning right now on the right hand. And he will continue to reign as long as men are dying. But when men stop dying, he'll stop reigning and he'll come back and he'll get some people. Question, do you want to be one of them? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Be baptized. Be baptized and live faithful. Be faithful. Suffer a little bit. It'll be okay. But maybe a child of God. You've been suffering, but it hasn't been for righteousness. You haven't been reading your Bible. You haven't been meditating. You haven't been applying it. You just know Christianity from a theoretical but not applicable. Let's put it into practice. And let's do God's will. And let's hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Let's be humble. God has all the answers. We're trying to get some of them. We're just trying to get some of them. As we stand and as we sing to save this invitation.